Children of the Addams.
Welcome to the Children of the Addams podcast with your host,
Aaron Delaosa,
Honey Dicking,
and
Matt Siemens.
What the f's a thrush?
So we have green screens now. We need to try to pick a background, man, to see what, like where we want to be, you know, podcasting from essentially. I mean, it's a green screen, so we can choose anywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was actually reminiscing about Wayne's World.
And oh, they were just going back and forth in between
I'm
places.
In Delaware.
Right.
I'm in Delaware, you know?
The only place I remember from Delaware is Dover, and I really like that place too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
But if you could pick, like, where would you go? Like, where do you think a good place to be sitting down and bullshitting for a while would be?
Oh, man. For me, God. Anywhere like by the ocean.
The cantina and Mos Eisley Station, maybe? I mean, think big.
Oh, you can go anywhere. Oh, fantasy. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, because,
oh.
You know, basically this is what we're doing. It's just talking fantasy, so why not fantasize
yes, that, that is true. Yeah, probably right. Hogwarts.
Oh, so where at Hogwarts, exactly?
I don't know. I really like right off that bridge. God, what is it called?
I don't, just it wasn't so you, the books, right? Well, you never read the books.
No, Dick. I never. Yeah, I know. I'm a complete loser.
No, have you started yet or no?
No, I haven't. I was going to try to save that for the winter.
So in the movies, then, you would choose the bridge from Hogwarts.
Yeah, just so because you can pretty much oversee everything. You know, you're just kind of hanging out.
Like Dumbledore's office and maybe like the Astronomy Tower if you had to go Hogwarts.
Oh, that would be cool too.
Yeah.
Although I'm a big fan of like landscapes. I love landscapes.
An outdoorsy fella.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So you'd want to do it outdoors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm too. Maybe the pool in the TARDIS, like poolside in the TARDIS pool.
Oh, yeah.
I think would be good. Speaking of, did you hear Matt Smith is talking like he's ready to come back, and Stephen Moffat has even indicated as much this past week, and he was at some kind of a fan convention or something. He was talking to somebody, and he said that he indicated very strongly that Matt Smith would be coming back after Peter Capaldi was done.
Oh, well, how? I mean, how are they going to swing that? I mean, are they?
I mean, well, because they said, you know, when Tom Baker was talking to Matt Smith, he's like, maybe even a few of your old favorites, you know, saying he would likely become the Doctor again. But I had always assumed in my mind that meant David Tennant would be coming back before Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it's, you know, if he's willing to do that, you know.
Of course David Tennant's willing to do it. Tell me one guy who played the Doctor, with the exception of Eccleston, but maybe even him these days, who wouldn't come back and dust off their...
Oh, especially now? I mean, I think everyone would come
global
back.
Global megastars now, but I think they got to go back young and cute. And maybe DT, as much as everybody loves him, like you and my wife included, maybe he's just a bit too aged at this point to be the young, pretty one. Maybe that's why they're going back to Matt Smith with his fine coif and the chin.
Yeah, well, I mean, was Matt Smith more popular than David? I mean...
I think David Tennant was at the Doctor... Was the Doctor at the very start of it starting to blow up, like, really, really big globally and all that, and then it really solidified with Matt Smith, because that's when they started selling stuff at, like, Hot Topic and Spencer's, and
he
was just so cute with his bow ties and everything. You know, I think he's the one who really made it, like, a juggernaut was that
guy. It
just
seems kind of, I don't know, it's kind of sloppy to go backwards, you know? Like, isn't the whole point to keep changing it up and do something different? And
I felt his storyline, though, Matt Smith, like, it was really kind of muddled at the end. Like, it felt, it didn't feel, like, as grand as what, like, because with David Tennant's transformation, or Regenerate Me, dude, holy shit, was that tearful. My God. Yeah. Strong, powerful stuff. And Matt Smith, by the time it happened, you were just like, let's go already.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's finish this up, cheated, yeah. Because it's like, you know, I want to be able to have my David Tennant moment with Matt Smith, where I feel some emotions out of this guy.
Maybe that's what they want to do. You know, like
I think
maybe,
Moffat said as much, where he's always felt bad about the way Matt Smith, you know, his Doctor
went
was
off,
shuffled off. Yes, I mean, you know, why not go back and do it again? But really, like, why not do David Tennant first, or maybe give John Hurt a run, or Paul McGann? If you'd never heard any of the audio stuff with Paul McGann with his Doctor,
man,
holy God, amazing, so good.
So maybe is there has there been like a ratings decrease? Has there been a really big problem with Capaldi's? I mean,
no. Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously, with any new doctor, that there's a bit of a ratings adjustment. But there was this whole rumor how people were thinking the show was in decline and the ratings were hurting this, this, and that. But the way that the UK does the it's not like what it is here. So there's no real way to judge the ratings, if I understand how they do it across the pond. But based upon just show interaction and globally how monstrous it is, there's no way the ratings could be down or the show could be looked at as anything but, you know, a massive sensation.
Yeah, maybe they'll
it's
do
everywhere.
Maybe they'll do like a quick couple episodes with him, you know, kind of like some weird transition
where he goes through a couple different of the old faces before they land on a new one.
Yeah, maybe they do that.
I love that idea. That's
you know, grab him back. Do a couple episodes where, you know, you get the fan base, you know, more excited back again, and then, you know, new doctor. Completely new doctor, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know who they choose, but I'm sure they'll make the right decision.
Iwan Brayon, right? Is that how you pronounce his name? The guy who played Ramsay Bolton.
Oh, that guy. I don't know. I think he's ruined for everybody now.
No. Have you ever seen the show Vicious with Ian McKellen and him on it?
No, no.
Oh, dude, it's fucking hilarious. It's Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi. They are, you know, they're both old men, and they've been, they're partners, so they're in a relationship, and they've been together for over 50 years, and they're really, like, they're both just old codgers. I mean, it's almost like The Odd Couple, except they fuck, but it's hilarious. It ran for two seasons, a Christmas special, and then the third season they kind of just made it one super long, like, you know, episode to they basically picked the funniest scenes from six episodes if they were going to do a third season and put them all as six scenes in one final episode. But it's so good. Oh my god, it's fucking hilarious.
Is that like a Hulu thing, or like can I get that? Where can
Prime.
I find that?
You can get it on Prime.
Oh, it is on Prime. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I just have to make a mental note.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Ian though. Ian Rion. I first came across this guy again thanks to Hulu through Misfits.
Oh,
he's on the first couple seasons of Misfits. I don't know if you saw that show or not. It's a group of British kids. They're I don't know. They're like badass teenagers. They're doing not a work release program, but like something like that, where it's like a work camp where they have to go to a park and clean up and to avoid jail and shit like that. And he was one of the kids. And a storm just happens upon a portion of the world, and people just become super, and they're a group of kids who become super, and it's a really good show. And that is where I first became aware of him. And then, you know, Game of Thrones and Vicious and all that.
Right.
No, really, like, I think he would make an amazing doctor, like in the vein of like a Matt Smith, like with how serious he can get. Like, he can get serious in a heartbeat and probably, you know, drop some serious tears on it if he had to. But then again,
right,
if you watch Vicious, I mean, he is such a lovable, airheaded goofball on that show. It's night and day. Like, you just want to pinch him just on that show.
I mean,
it's adorable little fella.
At least it shows his range, right? You know,
it like does. Yeah, he's really good. He sings too, apparently.
Oh,
like he's not. I mean, you know,
he's not just a one trick pony.
Essentially, yeah. But I was trying to think of a way to say that as far as singing actors go, he's not the worst I've heard. But if he was a singer on his own, he might not be eating all that much.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, if he does it on the side, yeah, he's nowhere near the worst singer.
Yeah, if they do it on the side, you know, like a la Johnny Depp, you know, then.
Ooh, does he sing? I thought he just kind of tried to play guitar.
Yeah, I think he tries. I think there's a lot of trying.
Does Keanu Reeves, does he still stare at the strings when he plays guitar?
Oh, I don't know. Might.
What was his band?
Oh, God.
Dogstar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dog shit, you know?
I'm so mad at my brain that's in there right now. I know Dogstar, and I know for a fact way too much shit about Corey Feldman. It's just...
That is true,
my brain's just this fucking soup of shit.
I'm surprised you're not, like, you don't secretly run one of his wikis.
I might.
Or,
I mean,
like...
I'm not going to say that I don't.
You're like a closeted, fan...
Corey Feldman fan?
Leader. Yeah, no, like, leader. You're like, you run one of his fan clubs or something.
Oh man, that'd be a great idea. I should start a Twitter page dedicated to Corey Feldman and just see if he would follow it.
I'm pretty sure he would. Have you looked at his, like, he retweets mentions a lot? And
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm jumping all over that fucking ball.
I think he's
right
constantly
there,
looking for mentions for himself, but they have to be positive.
Oh, so. Well, maybe that's why we didn't
Probably.
I mean, I don't think we said anything negative in the descriptions of the shows we talked about. I mean, it was just, we didn't really, I mean, I think we liked his video. We didn't care for his music too much, but Ascension Millennium. For those of you new to the podcast, Matt, I've been aware of Corey Feldman's music career for a while because I see a lot of weird shit on the internet. Matt does too, but I think he stays out of the super dark corners where you find a video such as Ascension Millennium or Corey Feldman's band Truth Movement.
Yeah. Stay far away. Or don't, because,
if you
know.
If you get the chance to see him, I recommend you do it, because it's supposed to be a spectacle. I can't wait. If we could get Corey Feldman to tour with Steven Seagal, but they only do music, I don't think I would ever see another concert. That'd be it for me. I could retire from my music, my live music.
That would be amazing. Who Seagal, would open, Seagal and the guitar. Oh, who would open?
Who would open?
Oh, Lord. God. What's the guy with the sax?
What, you like Little Steven from The Sopranos or whatever the guy's in?
No. The guy from with the sax from like Lost Boys, or who was it?
Oh, Timmy Capella.
Yeah.
God, why do I know that? Fuck, man. Yeah, Timmy Capella. Oh, Capello, I'm sorry. Timmy Capello, yeah. I think he's still, I don't think he's as beefy as what he was, but he definitely still rocks the shirtless chain look for cons and stuff.
Well, I mean, why not?
Because he tried getting serious for a bit. He had a website where it was just pictures of him like in a proper shirt, he looked like a golf instructor, like sitting in the woods with a sax.
Yeah, see, that shit doesn't work. Like, once you get famous for one thing, you have to be it your whole entire life.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Guy Fieri, you know, like, he has to constantly have the bleach blonde hair and the shitty goatee and,
that's,
you know,
the cook.
Yeah, the cook guy. Yeah. You know, the diners, drive-ins, and the dives or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's perpetually
the guy
who just walks
around eating wacky shit, right?
Like, yeah. You know, the food, the food, yeah, sort of. But, like, he's perpetually stuck in 2002. You know,
oh, he's
with the flame
guys.
Shirts and, yeah,
oh.
You know.
Oh.
Poor guy.
Does he
poor
look
guy.
Like he should be a backup singer in Smash Mouth?
Oh, no, actually, that nails it right there.
Perfect.
It's either that or he's, you know, side vocals for Van Hagar or whatever.
He's like a psychedelic kind of pudgy cowboy, is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like if Kevin Smith and Hank III fucked, they would make Guy Fieri.
Oh my God, that, jeez. You're just nailing it. You're nailing it right now. Yeah.
On fire, man.
So just picture that.
Oh, I am.
And you've got it.
I'm absolutely picturing that. Speaking of pictures, we started a Facebook page.
Yeah.
For those of you unaware, it's Children of the Atoms, or facebook.com/Children of the Atoms. We, on our Instagram, we post a lot of pictures. They're basically just stupid memes that I make, and then Matt goes overboard by drawing really awesome shit, and we put that on Instagram too. We're starting to put that stuff on our Facebook now, but on our Facebook page also, we're posting different news stories, you know, things we find funny, interesting, you know, whatever. So why not check us out there? facebook.com/Children of the Atoms. So speaking of the Facebook page, we could dive into a couple things we've mentioned on there. Specifically, I want to start with San Diego Comic-Con coming up in, what, like 11 days, something like that?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think it's next weekend, right?
Yeah,
or the weekend after.
It also coincides with the 30th anniversary of Aliens. So, of course, there's going to be a panel. They're getting back some members of the cast together for a big panel at SDCC. But there's also going to be a special edition Blu-ray release that's for Comic-Con only. But there'll also be with, like, you know, some extra bonuses. I think it's like a lithograph and something else. But also there'll be the standard Blu-ray release, which I'm not sure how it's different than the big quadrilogy Blu-ray release they did like a year and a half ago. I don't know what else they include in the movie that would make you want to go out and buy it now if you already have it. But in talking about the movie, Sigourney Weaver let a couple of really interesting nuggets slip out about the forthcoming Alien 5. She says essentially, quote, "It's just as if, you know, the path forks and one direction goes off to 3 and 4 and another direction goes off to Neil's movie." Neil's movie would be Neil Blomkamp, who she's doing Alien Covenant with. Or, no, I'm sorry. Alien Covenant is the other one, is Ridley Scott. She's just doing Alien 5, but there's no subtitle for that yet.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there isn't. I don't think they've decided on one.
So they're basically just doing, like, you know, they're going to Ratner the fuck out of this thing. Like, where he went off the rails with X-Men, they're just like, we're going to ignore that silly shit and just come right back around and make it awesome again.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do what Genesis tried to do, but, you know, hopefully they succeed.
Right,
which, reminder, Genesis failed.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Yeah, did seriously.
Did you see that, the Genesis?
No, I just read about it, and I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. Nope.
What do you think about Aliens trying to do the same thing?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, everyone... I mean, I like Aliens 3, but it's not... I mean, you go from Aliens 2 to Aliens 3, you're
kind of... That was the one on the prison planet, right?
Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's a
not
big
bad.
Letdown.
Not bad. They really started getting nuts when they involved Winona Ryder as the
oh,
super
yeah, that
cyborg,
one, yeah.
And then Ron Perlman was just really angry.
Right. I mean, you can see, like, Joss's influence on those, and, like, the writing is kind of cool, but, like, ultimately the stories are just messed up from the studio's involvement. And
absolutely.
They're just kind of, like, screwed, you know? So it's good to just hit the reset and forget those ever. I mean, like, if you want to watch them as standalone movies, Alien 3 is pretty creepy and scary, and I personally like it, but I definitely...
Charles
I wouldn't
Dutton was really solid in that movie.
I wouldn't consider it like a canon. You know, I don't. You know, it's kind of like Star Wars prequels. Like they're their own little island. Like
right.
If you want to watch them and enjoy them, fine. But they don't exist in my life. You know what I mean? It's like they're done. It's over.
I think you just got a hearty hear here from a bunch of Star Trek fans everywhere. Listening. Like, fucking right.
Yeah.
It's not my Star Trek.
Yeah, or Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Star Wars too. Even,
but like, seriously. I'm glad they're starting over, and hopefully they can go from in and make it right. And
well, how about what Ridley Scott's saying is that what he's working on now with Covenant is essentially going to be he's already saying there's going to be three more movies that lead into Alien 1.
Well, okay, so that guy, his problem was what is it, Damon Lindelof, right?
Yep.
Writing Prometheus.
Yep.
I was super excited for Prometheus. It's a beautiful film.
I really like Prometheus. It's just way too smart.
Way too smart? Oh, come on.
Dude,
when
they start actually dissecting the different, the DNA portions and all that, like, you could go down a serious rabbit hole on some message boards that I found that it's
amazing. Oh, well, okay, so,
like,
yeah, that's, but that's fan stuff, right?
Well,
that's fan
I mean,
stuff. That has nothing to do with Damon. Damon doesn't even think about anything. Like, the black goo is just a magical thing that just changes whatever it wants
it's
to change.
It's a magic
right?
gooey snake. I buy it. What's wrong with it? And God is apparently a 9,000-foot-tall white alien who just wants to murder us.
Right. Oh, my God. So, like, and for them to keep saying, oh, it's not a, you know, it's not a prequel, it's not connected, it's a different planet.
It was.
It's like, right. They could have told...
That's why the aliens look different. They,
right.
They were hibernated a different way, man.
Yeah. Instead of just connecting them and making it, you know, seamless.
Right.
They had
to put seams in.
Right, they outsmarted themselves,
yeah.
You know? And, well, I will say they are the dumbest group of scientists I have ever... Like, even...
And they're future scientists. They should be really fucking smart.
Super smart, right? So, like, even in the theater, most of the time in the theater, I'm like, I'll enjoy a film.
Oh, you saw
film.
It in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater with my cousins, my little cousins. And they're like, oh,
your
it was all right.
Cousins.
Yeah. You know, and... But most of the time... Like, most of the time, those scientists... I forget what I was talking about.
The
stupid
scientists.
Oh, my God, the stupid scientists. They just make me so mad. Like, all their different decisions, all their character choices are so messed up. They're so wrong.
Yeah.
But, so, like, I saw it in the theater, right? And even in the theater, I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, why is that guy taking his helmet off? Don't take your helmet off, dude! You know? Like, and why is he playing with a snake thing?
Hey, man, sometimes you gotta run before you can walk.
But most of the time, this is what I was going to say. Like, most of the time in the theater, right, I'm like, I'll just watch the movie, have fun with it, overlook, you know, plot holes or whatever,
right.
And maybe think about it later. But this one, in the theater, I was like, looking over at my little cousins, and they're looking over at me. And mind you, they're like 13, you know, and they're even looking at over at me, they're like, come on. You know? They're like, oh, this guy's stupid. Why? He's going to die. But,
and
I mean,
they all deserve to. Like,
oh,
pretty much.
But everything else, like a typical Ridley Scott fashion, it's a gorgeous film, you know?
Yeah.
Really awesome sci-fi elements. I mean, there's tons of really cool stuff in it. It's just the story is kind of dumb.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, if you look at it like a horror movie, that pretty much explains all the stupidity from the scientists. Like,
no, that... See, that's true. Yeah, they should... So
that's kind of how I looked
screen.
At it. I'm like, you know, don't go in there, bitch. Like, you know, at the TV. But it's
right.
The same thing. It's just like, nah, you're going to fucking die, dude. Put that helmet on, dumbass.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, take off. I want to see what happens.
Or run sideways. Don't run in the bath of the stupid giant ship.
What the fuck? Just work. Yeah. What? Oh my god.
Run sideways,
dude. That was the just so ridiculous.
Or I love the what is it, the guy who maps the whole entire area, and he's the one that gets lost.
Yeah.
One explanation I found out about that is, and I think it's kind of funny, is like these future scientists are so reliant on technology that ultimately they're stupid. You know?
Huh.
Kind of like
that, you know, how that movie Idiocracy was?
Yes, yeah. They're so reliant on technology that stuff they just, you know, watch monster truck rallies and masturbate all the time.
Dude, I buy that. Have you been in public lately? People are fucking morons.
Yeah, it's pretty close to that now.
Yeah, really close. speaking of stuff that doesn't make any sense, you posted an article on our Facebook page about James Gunn talking about the scrolls are actually split ownership. Can you
could
you break that down
for me? I was totally like caught off guard about this, but like James Gunn was doing his normal Twitter questionnaire, you know, right, where people, you know, tweet at him, he'll answer questions, right? And then someone asks, oh, what about the Skrulls? And he's like, well, Marvel does have part ownership. They own parts of them. They don't own specific Skrulls, which obviously is probably Super Skrulls.
Right.
Which is, you know, that kind of sucks because they're really cool and whatnot. Yeah. But, you know, you can write things in if you want to. But apparently Marvel still has the rights to use the Skrulls. And I think that would be, after Infinity War... Yeah. You know, segue into like
Secret Invasion.
Yeah, Secret Invasion. I think that would blow people's freaking minds. You know.
Yeah, that
have
is pretty
have
cool.
Have one of the big, you know, either Tony Stark or maybe even Captain America. Could be Chris Evans' like last role. You know, where Captain America turns into a Skrull.
By the time that comes down, we're looking at like what, probably 6 years down the road. Downey will be about 70. I mean, so he'll be out of the picture by then.
Yeah, you know, it might be that. But like, what was
nobody's
it?
Gonna buy. You know what I mean? Seeing like an old Iron Man. You know what I mean? It's just gonna be like,
oh yeah,
we're gonna.
Well, you can see even like in the comics, they're like starting to transition to
younger.
Right. So they, what is it? Riri Johnson.
Yeah.
Is gonna be the new Iron Man in the comics. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe they're putting their feelers out there. Like
even
Kick-Ass,
Mark Millar, the new Kick-Ass is gonna be based on a woman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, his last comic was RPM. It was set in Detroit, so here's hoping this one takes place in Detroit.
So it's like is the other Kick-Ass done? Is he like dead or something, or just?
It ended kind of open to where it could be interpreted a couple different ways. But Hit Girl's story is definitely continuing, like to where she.
Yeah, she has her own thing right now.
Yeah,
right?
She picked the new Kick-Ass and she was starting to train him. But like Dave Lazowski, his story is definitely done. If you haven't read the comic, for those of you who haven't, pick it up. It's well worth the read. It's very interesting the way it ends. It's very easy to love, but if you think about it enough, you could get pissed. That's why I think it's engaging to say the least. You know what I mean? Because it's either really, really, really brilliant or it's like a really big fuck you. I'm still on the fence. As far, like I think I go day by day as far as how I feel about it. Today I like it.
Yeah.
So.
But tomorrow,
yeah, I don't
not
mind
so much.
Like with them transitioning characters, you know, to newer, like, you know, or you know, more or whatever. You know, who gives a fuck? Just put new people in. Like that's how you engage new readers. I mean, you know, you can't use the same characters that our dads grew up on. You know what I mean? And have it be believable that they grew up in our day and age and they could relate to the issues that we're dealing with. You know, so we need new characters like that. You know, people. We need contemporaries. We need the kind of people we grew up with. You know, or. Everything being our beloved heroes these days, so I'm not bored for it, man. But I can see a lot of people are gonna get super pissed about this.
Yeah, people
and
fear change.
So, like, yeah, any change. It's talking about change. Like, holy shit. How about them coming forward? John Cho revealed that Sulu is gonna be openly gay in the new movie.
Yeah, I mean that was a huge reveal, right? I mean.
Yeah. But awesome. But I felt stupid even posting like the story about it because it's like, you know, why is this really news? Like, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To where we have to, you know, the news outlets are blowing up about it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it felt like it needed some attention being thrown on it because they're a beloved franchise, you know. And that, you take the sci-fi part out of it. Just, you know, film, television, books, toys, fandom on its own. I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah,
to make one of their beloved characters, you know, an openly gay person. Not even that. I mean, you know, he's in a committed relationship, and you know, his Sulu's daughter's there. So you know, he's got a family built on top of everything. It's awesome. But George Takei said he didn't dig it.
Yeah, well, I think he felt like because he was he felt like he was closeted. But I don't think that's in their universe. They're not really looking at it like that. You know, they're not. I think Simon Pegg even came back and said, no, this is better because in our universe, which is a different timeline, he's gay and he has been gay. And it's not like been a big deal because no one cares who about sexuality, right? Yeah. So like in this timeline, it's fine. Maybe there's, and he's, I think Simon Pegg even said in, maybe there's a different timeline where Kirk is gay, you know, like all these different things and it doesn't matter. But he
I'm going to assume he was referring to William Shatner's Kirk.
Yeah, see, there's that timeline right there.
Like, no, we made Kirk gay by having Spock transfer over to this timeline, so.
Yeah, and I think Simon said, you know, he didn't want to create a character just to be gay, because that would be, they'd be defined by their sexuality. Whereas,
well, and even that, I mean, you know, can you find anything, recall a moment where they specifically address Sulu's sexuality in the original show, movies and all that? I mean, yeah, he has a daughter, but, you know.
Lots of gay men have. It's not a big deal, right?
It was never any firm canon, you know.
It's the future. They could be having babies like in little, you know, pods or whatever. Who knows? I don't know.
Like from Starship Troopers.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what? There's all kinds of stuff. I understand why he would feel like, because.
But I bet
being closeted for him was, you know, hard.
Gigantic. Yeah, absolutely. You know. Horror. Like, who the fuck would want to go through that? But you think of, if anyone would be happy about that, especially as it was done as a tribute to him, like to his struggles, everything he went through. Like, it caught me kind of off guard that he didn't really seem on board with it.
Well, it might be just, you know, initial reaction, and then once he sees the movie and sees everything, it could be different. You know, like someone could have just, you know, they asked him right away and he's, you know, answering with whatever feelings he had at the time, and you know, and maybe not
a chance to talk to Justin Lin or Simon Pegg.
Right, you don't even think about it. You're just kind of like, well, maybe it's not like he said anything bad about it. He was just like, well, you know, I wish they really had.
Yeah,
he didn't denounce it or anything. Like, oh, I'm not gonna watch this, boycott it. You know,
right?
He was just oh, you know. So
wouldn't that be a fucking twist of? Oh, Sulu came out. And he's like, fuck this movie.
Yeah. What? Fuck this.
I'm not watching this. I'm not watching some gay Sulu. My Sulu isn't gay.
Right. I played him straight this whole time.
Right. That's how I played it. I played it straight. Oh, okay. So, there's no real segue to this. I'm just going to come out and say it. I went back. I had to show my wife that scene in Outcast we were talking about because she could hear me yelling more piss.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to it. Apparently, I liked that movie way more than what I recall because it had 4 stars.
Oh, you would, yeah. See,
I had rated it 4 stars, like myself.
Right.
Yeah. So I really liked that movie. And then I went back and I showed her the piss scene and she was like, wow, that doesn't seem like a lot of... I was like, hang on a second. I was like, just wait.
Yeah.
And then, like, when they show him getting up, I was like, I paused it. I was like, now look. I walked over to the television and I drew like a big circle. Like, I was like, that is a monstrous amount of piss this guy already had.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like they threw a bucket on him.
Yeah. They doused him in piss. So when I was tweeting something about that episode, I went to do the hashtag, like, more piss. It was already a hashtag.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Someone had already been doing that. Like, I find that fascinating, that piss was already a hashtag.
And more piss, that might be for something else, though.
Yeah, I don't want to know what, but...
I don't think...
I am curious, but not that curious to start Googling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that might be a little dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about those dark corners.
I'm going to throw that laptop right away, because there's no recovering that fucker.
Although you might find Corey down there, who knows?
Yeah, I just randomly clicked around on Instagram the other day, and some lady said she just happened to a bar in Hollywood. The picture was her and Corey Feldman. He's got shoulder length hair. He was wearing a blue, like silky shirt. So see through.
No.
I mean, his nipples, like poor they were, guy. Everything was on display for him, and he looked old, man. It was apparently reading the caption on it. It was apparently like a record release party because he has a new album out, which I have to, you know, try to listen to somehow.
Yeah, I actually I saw he was tweeting about it. You know, like
about the party.
No, about the new album out. I'm like,
oh,
he's got
what's this one
album?
Called? Do you remember the name?
Oh, I forgot the name. It was some. I don't know.
Did he work the name Corey like into the title?
Actually, that might have happened
to the Google machine. But yeah, so she posted about it. She was talking about how it, this random bar like in Hollywood or something like that was just this record release party for him. But she said there was only like 20 people there.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that like maybe she just showed up really early or really late.
Yeah, sadness.
Yeah, I don't want that to be like, you know, at like 11 o'clock when, you know,
when I'm, you know, that's got to be like the saddest thing ever to be one of the biggest, like, because in the 80s child he actors. Was, you know, yeah. massive child actor.
Everywhere.
You know, like,
everywhere.
Massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, and it's almost like the sad, it's like the sad wrestlers that go to Comic-Cons or go to random places.
Or random indie shows. I can't tell you how many guys, you know, I grew up watching who, you know, I happen upon in a locker room, and it's like,
Yeah, I feel
you're
so
kind of
sad
a,
for you, buddy.
Sad dude, yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah,
do you need $5? Here you go.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, dude, like it's a lot of these guys are pretty sad.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine going from top, you know, the top, and then falling and just trying so hard to stay up there.
It's just like, you know, that movie, The Wrestler. Like, have you've seen that with Mickey Rourke?
Oh yeah, that movie's awesome.
Remember
yeah.
that scene where he's walking to the back of the supermarket, and you could hear they're piping in the crowd noise, and you could hear chants and stuff. And
yep.
the second he blasts through the butcher shop curtain, it all stops, and there's just shopping noises.
Right,
that's how it is essentially. Like, you know, you know, most guys work in the indies. You know, you wrestle, you know, three nights a week if you're lucky. You work one job, maybe two, in the meantime to be able to support the wrestling. But as soon as you walk into your job, it's just like that. Like, maybe the night before, you know, people might have been cheering for you, they might have been booing for you, but there's some sort of a reaction, and you get a charge out of it. And then when you go to your job and nobody gives a shit, it's just like, you know, hey, Bob, happy Monday. It's, you know, it's, oh, it's so, it is. It's hard to fucking deal with. And on a level to where maybe, you know, a couple hundred people, you know, some of these guys wrestle in front of, most of them, you know, way less. I couldn't imagine, you know, wrestling in front of thousands of people like that and just feeling that sort of electricity, and then you go to, like, everybody just shitting on you.
Right.
Hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, just, like, big rock stars, you know? Oh, we filled arenas back in the day, and now, right. you know, they're right. playing in front of 100 people, tops, Except, maybe.
I don't
know?
Think anybody is willing to spend $20 to get a still photo with Joe Perry, though, do you?
Oh, God. No. No, no, no. Oh, like, because, I see Steven Tyler every once in a while.
Do you really? Like,
yeah.
out in the wild?
No, yeah, because he lives up here.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Do you ever freak out, or you just play it cool, just roll past him, like, you know, whatever?
No, I just, like, he goes and frequents a restaurant that I'll go to every once in a while. It's not too often, but, like, there was one time he was sitting right behind me, and he's just telling stories, and I'm like...
Were you eavesdropping, what? Like, just trying to
listen
to shit?
Yeah, I'm just like, that's amazing. You know? And it's so surreal.
One time,
like,
man, I did coke off Eric Clapton's boner. It was real shit.
Like, seriously, it's stuff like that. And you're like, what the fuck?
Was it really a story like that? Like, don't give me exact details, but tell me, like, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh. You know, and it's like, it is
Did you
super
smell
surreal.
Him? Like, did you throw your napkin on the ground and
I wish.
Back and, like, breathe in deep?
But I'm not shitting you. He dresses just like he
Just like still, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yep. Seriously.
A bunch
scarves.
Of Ed Hardy jeans, scarves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I imagine a lot of rings.
Yep. Oh, tons of them. Yep. And he has, like, this old roadster that he drives around.
Oh, dude. What a badass old man. That is awesome.
Yep. And, back in high school, I was working in a deli, and he came in with Liv.
Ooh.
You know, and I'm, you know, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And Liv Tyler is right in front of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're ordering, because I work in the deli, and they're ordering, like, a half pound of ham and some chicken
salad.
You want
some beef with it?
Right. You know, and I'm just like, I was just like, oh, my God.
Did you throw out, like, a good line? Like just, like, a lame pickup line at her just to drop a little bit of game?
No, no, no. I was too, like, I was just too dumb. You know, I was just like, oh, my God, it's Liv Tyler. Which is funny, because I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Steven Tyler, you know, a rock god, you know, like right here.
But Liv
Tyler,
like,
yeah, whatever.
Dude.
Yeah. Because my 17-year-old self is just like, you know, he's taken over at that point.
Dude, I think my 37-year-old self might react the same way.
Jeez, and she had the short hair at the time, so I forgot what movie that was for. Kind of
looked like the Wasp a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So, like, I forgot what movie that was, but... Yeah, they came in and ordered some ham and chicken salad.
Interesting. I can't picture her eating ham. That just seems weird to me, doesn't it?
No, it's probably definitely for Steven.
Yeah. Like, was that his car snack? Like, yeah, the salad was for her. And he got a handful of ham.
Well, no, they were doing their normal shopping. Like, because they were probably in for the
just
weekend.
Just grocery shopping like regular people.
And they were grocery shopping, even though they're dressed like they just stepped out of Hollywood, you know, or whatever.
Right, yeah, yeah. And, but they're in, you know, in Maine.
Just going around and shopping, you know, and doing whatever. And, like,
yeah, it was weird. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the next time you see Steven Tyler, man, you got to try to talk to that guy. He's like, I got those same shoes, man. Where'd you get yours? Just throw something random at him just where he'll be like, what? And he has to engage you. Because someone tells you something like that, it's like, oh, I don't know, like some store. Like, you're going to stop and think it's just so mundane. It's a good way to start a combo with him.
Right.
Like, what hair gel do you use? I'm interested about it. Like, is he still partly bleach blonde a bit, or is he, you know, rocking, like gray a bit?
Well, he's like streaks of gray. He'll do, like, different things.
But he's like, very hip. He looks like he's very hip all the time.
Well, yeah, he is a very good stylist, I'm sure.
Right. Boy, have you seen Johnny Depp lately? Like, he's really starting to look like Steven Tyler, even though Steven Tyler is, like, 40 years older than Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he's getting like, kind of weird.
He looks almost as old as, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
And, like, you can start seeing the work on his face now. Like, the work done. You know, that kind of where it's, like,
did he
George Hamilton,
in
you know, kind
of. Territory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, where it's just, you kind of know. You're like, dude, man, lay off that stuff. It's going to be even worse later on.
That is crazy. You know, I just Googled him. Oh, yeah, look at his face.
Which is, that shit is crazy, man. Because it's like, yeah, I know he's, like, 50-something, but men usually age really well. I don't understand these guys getting plastic surgery. It just makes them look worse.
I don't get anybody doing that. Like, you know, just fucking with their faces and all that. It's just right out your age, man. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people say, like, you know, it's a Hollywood trap, and, you know, they're always looking for younger, better-looking people. But the way to combat that would be is if all the Hollywood actors are like, you know, go fuck yourself. We ain't changing shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna roll down the street and find, you know, a bunch of those talented people, like, especially, like, the ones who are super talented fucking with their faces. If they refuse to stop, like, you don't get my talents, you know, maybe something might change.
Yeah, it would take a group effort, like, everyone
to
get involved.
Yeah.
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 Steven Tyler is actually 68, so he's way older.
Yeah, he's pretty old now. Yeah.
He does look like 60. His teeth still look great, though.
Got great teeth. Yeah, I don't know if they're real.
Oh, man, you're peeling apart the layers of my Steven Tyler onion and just getting down to the parts where I cry.
Now, and if anyone looks up and thinks I'm lying, it's not Maine, it's New Hampshire.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, so, no, it's okay. They're pretty much the same.
Right.
Although, you probably get people say, no, one's more inbred than the other one. It's, you know, whatever. But
probably the same with, like, Michigan and, like, Ohio, Illinois, anywhere in the middle.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
fuck you, man, I ain't from there, blah, blah.
Right. Even though it's, you know, it's imaginary,
it's
border.
All the same. Yeah,
right.
Who gives a fuck? It's all the same.
Right. Especially New England. Like, all of New England's, like, the same thing. You know, it's, like, one big state, so.
Yeah. So, did you do any more thought to Walker Stalker Con?
I have thought about it. I don't know if I can get to
it's
though.
It's a good guest list, though, isn't it?
I know. I would just want to go for Elvira.
Elvira alone. Well, they do a cruise, the Walker Stalker Con. If you want to go on a cruise with Norman Reedus and Greg Nicotero and a few other people.
Oh, my God.
They essentially do a three-day con, at least from Miami, and it goes to the Cayman Islands, I want to say. But, don't freak out on me, people, if I'm wrong. But it's 3 days, and it ends... No, in the Bahamas. It ends in the Bahamas. Like, so you go from Miami to the Bahamas for 3 days, and you just party with these guys on a boat. They do cons. They do meet and greets. I mean, you know, you're just hanging out with these guys. It's, you know...
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be very interesting, but I don't know that I could justify, like, you know, not doing, like, not taking my daughter, like, somewhere fun for vacation.
Just
telling my folks, like, watch the kid for a weekend. I got to go to Miami real quick and get on a boat with a bunch of zombie makeup artists and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to get wasted with Norman Reedus. Like,
I'm
who?
I'm going to go drink with who? The Irish guy from Boondock Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. It's funny. My wife's like, you know, who is Norman Reedus? Because we hadn't been watching The Walking Dead. Like, I'm just catching up to it now. Like, I'm the only person on Earth, apparently.
Wait, her too?
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's not that big on zombies.
When exactly did you start watching The Walking Dead?
So I originally started when it first came out. I started and I got like two episodes in, and then just like shit happened, and I never got to it. So then
came back around.
And it just you know, it kept coming out new seasons, and everyone kept talking about it, and I just, like, stay away, right. You know, until I can, like, sit down, and now,
avoid, of course.
Right, now, like, I'm six seasons in, so now I'm, like, desperately trying to catch up.
Right, before the new one starts.
But now, I'm in season two. Yeah, where they're still looking for Sophia.
Oh.
But, yeah, so we had never really seen it, and, I think you had mentioned Norman Reedus, and she's like, well, who's that guy? And I'm like, he's the guy in The Walking Dead. I don't know who that is. You know, like right. I'm just trying to think of other roles he's in, but now, you know, like Boondocks eggs. I'm like, oh, okay, well, duh.
Yeah. I saw them, Motor City Comic Con, like, it's notoriously a shit show. I mean, they always overbook, you know what I mean? They put it in a small, shitty hall. It's not ran very well. I mean, the ticket system sucks. Like, anyone who's ever been in Motor City Comic Con knows exactly what they're all like, yeah, fuck yeah, it's fucking terrible. But unfortunately, the other Comic Cons in Michigan haven't quite figured out how to, you know, get the good folks. So Motor City Comic Con, up until last year, rather, the past couple years before that, they had gotten some really big guests. And, like, when it first blew up, on the same weekend in Novi, Michigan, if you've never heard of it, you know, not only people who live here have either. It's that fucking small. but they had Stan Lee, Norman Reedus, Rocco Del Rocco, the guy who plays David Del Rocco, the guy who played Rocco in Boondock Saints, and Sean Patrick Flannery. So they had all three of the main players from the Boondock Saints together, and Stan Lee. It was an insane asylum. Dude, it was a madhouse of people. There were so many people crammed into this tiny warehouse, people waiting in line legitimately for the entire, like, first Friday of the con because they couldn't get in because the line, the ticket system, it was just, it was madness. It was chaos. It was fucking unbelievable. But I hadn't seen Sean Patrick in a couple of years, to be honest. And he kind of looks like he was going down the road that Val Kilmer fully went down.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think he just had so much, like, sex, he retired his penis and just fully invested in his stomach. But now he looked, you know, he's getting back into his jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, so he's cleaning up. You know, he's looking very pretty again. But at that point, yeah, he was looking like he was starting to not give a fuck too much.
Maybe he was preparing for a roll or some sort.
Yeah, a jelly roll. Boom! But no, like, Norman Reedus, like, you know, he looks like he always does. He had a ball cap on and sunglasses. He was, you know, making his cute little purse face at people, and it was awesome. It seemed pretty cool. I met Tom Savini and Curtis Armstrong at that con. It was pretty rad.
That's a pretty big get.
I was very pleased about Curtis Armstrong. Like, nobody was, like, really talking to him. And Tom Savini, like, there was nobody talking to him. I can't believe it.
I would assume, yeah, no way. Like, yeah. How is he not more popular than Norman Reedus? Like, yeah. Come on.
Like, I walked up to him, got an autograph. I didn't even get charged for a picture. He's like, you want a picture? I said,
seriously?
Yeah,
picture. Oh, yeah. My God.
And, like, in the picture, I'm just freaking out. I'm like, this is fucking Tom Savini. And also Missy Vaughn. From Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, what the hell?
Nobody was
and
in line.
And no one knew, right?
So, no, yeah. I got in line. I paid her, and I was, Missy Vaughn, most beautiful woman in Puppet Land.
Yeah, I was looking at the, because the Boston Con has the, you know, the meetup, so you can pay for the pictures, whatever. And
yeah.
I'm, like, looking at the times, and, like.
Lou Ferrigno seems to be overpriced for me at every con I see him at.
He Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, very overpriced.
Yeah.
All those chicken breasts and brown rice are going to pay for them, so.
Like most of them are like $60, like $65 for a picture.
What does that include?
A picture and
that's it.
Yeah, I think a picture and an autograph. That's it.
Is it like a picture, like one of the ones like you can do with Sebastian Stan, where you make him like play jump rope with you or something?
Yep, it's like and you're like in groups. So let's say you're in a group of 60 and you got 20
with
minutes to do
each.
It. You know, whatever. You know,
is it split? Is it?
No,
60,
it's not split.
People,
it's $60
per person.
Like, and they group you together in these, you know, like herds. And then you get like 25 minutes per herd or whatever.
Wow.
So you have to, you know, you have to run up, do the picture, get out of there.
That's exactly what they did with Stan Lee at that con. Like, you really, like, you walked up, you put your arm around him, he said three words to you, and you rolled.
Excelsior!
Basically. Except well done after the pictures.
Well oh,
done.
Well done.
Thank you, sir. That's what I told my wife. He told me he liked my shirt because I wore Spider-Man because, you know, I was, I was marking out for Stan Lee. Yeah.
Could always whisper something about, like, you screwed over Kirby, you son of a bitch.
I licked his earlobe a little bit. I just wanted to taste excellence, so.
Of course, like, to have the actual balls to do that would be, like, pretty hardcore.
I'm not saying that to Stanley. There's just no way that's happening. So the CW, they're really coming on a news tip the past couple of days with some rumors. We'll start with, they are now streaming, the CW is, all 13 episodes of Constantine, which, given Matt Ryan's cameo on Arrow this past season, it's adding a little bit more rumor, or like a fuel to the fire about the rumors that, you know, Constantine's going to be getting his own show either on the Seed, or he's going to be showing up in Legends of Tomorrow or something like that.
Probably Legends of Tomorrow. Although, I just started, because you showed it, that the Seed, like, I loaded the Seed on my Xbox and started watching Constantine, because I hadn't seen it yet.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty so good. It's so great. Yeah. Like, they did a really good job. You know, he did a really good job, you know, with Constantine. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, maybe they will do a full show and just have, like, their own streaming service, you know, essentially.
Put it on the Seed. Yeah. I would watch the shit out of that just for Constantine, of course.
Although, I will say, on the streaming, there's way more commercials, I've noticed, than normal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, way more.
So is it, like, just 2 minutes a show and then, like, you know, three or four commercials?
I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then, like, it's the same batch of commercials.
Well, it's free, though, right?
Yes, it's free, but you're, like, watching the same... Yeah, the same batch of commercials over and over. So, like, there's five commercials, and you'll see them 10 times each.
You know? How about they, yeah, God, why would they just, like, make it, like, $1 a month and cut out, like, half the commercials? You know what I mean? Like, it's cool, like, they do it for free. I mean, because you can watch them streaming, and then at the end, because of the deal they signed with Netflix, it's, like, a week after the finale
ends,
they're going to upload the entire season on Netflix?
Yeah. That's good.
Not bad, but you are going to be waiting a while, so you might have to sit through the Seed or, you know, go old school and watch it live time.
That's going to be the future of TVs. They're going to be, you know, you're going to have, like, AMC app, you know, HBO app. You know, you're going to have these apps, and you're going to pay individual prices.
Right.
You're going to have ESPN. Oh, ESPN is going to be $5, you know, like
I'm not
CW.
Paying for ESPN.
Yeah.
ESPN.
Yeah, seriously. You know,
I'll pay $5 for CW. I'm not paying
for
ESPN.
You know, that's what's going to end up happening. And then you're going to have problems where, like, all these other stations are just going to go right down the pooper because no one watches them anyway, and they kind of live off
gives
of
two shits.
They live off the cable, you know, spreading the wealth.
Right.
You know, cable advertising. But yeah, that's like the future of TV is that, just apps, and it won't won't be TV anymore. It'll just be
apps,
you know, apps, broadband, you know, whatever.
That works.
You know, your broadband internet.
Keep it in the CW tilt. They've also released a photo of Wally West suited up as Kid Flash finally.
Yeah, I saw that.
Spoiler alert, since you're not up on the show, they're introducing Kid Flash.
So I started watching The Flash, and I got
Kenan Lonsdale, he plays Wally West, he's been really good.
Yeah, I got 15 minutes into the first episode, and I was
of
like,
season
no.
two or season one?
No, season one. So
I told you to start season two.
I know, I'm gonna skip ahead, because...
Don't watch season one. Just go to season two.
God, I couldn't do it. I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to end up hate watching this.
It gets better.
You know, I'm going to hate myself.
If you stick through season one, it gets better. But just go right to season two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, the first episode pretty much lays out. The first couple minutes, they always do that recap where they show you the entire season in about 3 minutes. So
yeah.
You'll catch the highlights, but season two is definitely the way to start.
All right. Yeah, definitely, because, man, I don't know. For some reason, I just like... You know how, like, when you start a show and you're just like, all right, okay, cool, and then, like, you just slowly start looking at your phone, you know?
Oh, man.
And you're just on your phone the whole time.
Any brand new show, you always have to give it to, like, the third episode, like, kind of like Firefly, where the pilot was, and then, you know, episode two.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the train and all that, it got a little better.
Well, because there's character building, you know? They're building up these characters, making them more fleshed out and everything, and not just jumping into it. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah. So keeping in news with The Flash, they have a series regular joining for season three, and he's a very familiar face to Harry Potter fans. Tom Felton, Draco Malfoy himself, is going to be joining The Flash as a regular.
Good guy or bad guy?
Yet to be determined. He's playing a guy called Julian Dorn, who's going to be like a CSI, like right next to Barry in the lab.
Okay. So he's going to die.
Right, you know, like who knows if he's a good guy or a bad guy, but he's very suspicious of Barry. Like, that's they make a note to point that out, is that he's suspicious of Barry.
suspicious of them, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He thinks there's more to meet the eye, more than meets the eye when it comes to Mr. Barry Allen. So, I mean, knowing Tom Felton, he might be playing a villain, but then again, maybe he's just typecast like that. That's just how we picture him.
Yeah.
Because you saw him in Planet of the Apes, right?
With the one with Mark Wahlberg?
No, the one with Franco.
So that one, yes. One. Okay, God, yeah.
He had his American accent on display for that one.
Yeah.
I hope it got better. Like, I think I've just been spoiled as far as, like, Harry Potter actors and actresses doing American accents. Like, Daniel Radcliffe for me is definitely, like, number one. His American accent, like, it's pretty solid. But after that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, the British leaks through on a lot of them. Like, there's one point in Planet of the Apes where Tom Felton has to yell, "It's a madhouse." But because of the way they pronounce words like that in the UK, he goes, "Madhouse." Like, he stretched out that A so much it was starting to tear. It was fucking amazing.
You know, I think I blocked his
it's
role out of that
house. Yeah, yeah, out of that movie. That's how he yelled it. And I was like, oh, God, it took me right out because it was supposed to be this really good scene. And it's just like, shit, he did it. It's like when Downey, when he would slip out of the his mostly English accent in the Sherlock movies.
Oh, yeah. It's normally when he was like fighting or doing something like intense.
Yeah, show me your abs. You say something witty and cute. Let me see your big brown eyes. I get it. But then... yeah, he gave a speech, and every once in a while something American would slip in. It's like, dude.
He's just keeping it real, that's all, you know.
I say, why even try to do it? Like Kevin Costner in Robin Hood.
Oh,
he's like,
God.
Fuck your English accent. I'm doing this the way I talk, motherfucker.
My wife had never seen that before, and I was like, look it, it's Robin Hood. And she's like, what?
And it's Alan Rickman
no.
as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, my God.
How could you not?
That is the only good part of that movie.
The only Alan redeeming Rickman. Quality about that movie.
The only thing. Yeah. They should just condense all of his parts down to one thing. You know, just like all the movie should just be him. And just cut out everything else. Yep.
Yeah. I like how he kind of looked like an 80s hair metal version of Snape in that movie.
Yeah.
He had the really big kind of Kurt Russell, Big Trouble in Little China, like Hairspray, Tango and Cash hair with the big flowing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, did you see they're going to have a Tango, not Tango, God, what is it? Snake Plissken and what's the other guy's name from Big Trouble in Little China?
Jack Burton?
Yeah, Jack Burton and Snake Plissken comic team up.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. Like,
is that coming from Boom since they're doing the Big Trouble in Little China comic?
Not sure, but it looks pretty rad, so.
Oh shit.
I know. Dude. I should have texted you with that one.
Yeah, you fucking that's got to be from Boom because they did the Snake Plissken comic, the Escape from New York book also.
Oh yep, okay.
Dude, oh man, yeah. Consider my nerd boner full rage right now. Yeah, that is amazing.
I figured that would hit the spot for you.
I'm looking at the cover art right now for it. I am oh my God, my hands are sweaty right now. I'm getting so excited. I'm so glistening. That is the best. Better make sure my subscription is up to date.
Yeah,
dude,
that's a team up right there. That's a good one.
That's the best news I've heard today. Look at that. I don't know why I'm yelling so much. I'm so happy about it. I don't think everyone out there realizes how much I truly, truly love Kurt Russell.
He's like your 80s hero.
Yeah.
Or anytime hero.
Yeah. He just seems like he's so awesome. Like, I think he would be a great guy. Like, I think he and Tom Hanks would be a cool hangout. Like, if you happened upon them in a steakhouse, I think you'd be in for the night of your fucking life.
Yeah, the stories those guys would have.
Yeah, and they're both just supposed to be, like, notoriously super nice guys. Like, Tom Hanks is just supposed to be one of the sweetest guys ever, apparently, from everything I read about him. All his fan interactions. He's always taking fake drunk photos of people in restaurants. I mean,
you know he's like probably got a dark side.
No way. That guy is all sunshine and blowjobs.
You sure? Man. You sure?
He just seems like the greatest dude on the planet.
I don't know. Dark side. It's got to be a dark side there.
No way. There's no dark side to Tom Hanks. He got all his dark side out to his fucking shitbag kid.
Like, not, yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe.
Not the one. The other one who goes by the name Chaz. Like,
yeah. The rapper or the whatever.
Colin Hanks. Colin Hanks is the it's Chaz Hanks. Yeah, the rapper. Yeah. Did he challenge Howard Stern to a fight? It's like Howard Stern, he's fucking 65 years old, man. He's issuing fight threats to this guy. It's like, just settle down, Junior.
I'm sure Howard Stern would just be like, sure, we'll fight. And then one of his security guards just kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. Yeah. He could probably build an actual Iron Man suit and show up and just melt this dude in like a second.
Yeah. Well, it would be Chaz fart on Hanks. Him. He'd like have a you know, a fart.
Fart man. The fart man. Yeah, fart suit. Man. Whatever. Yeah. Make it old school. So, I have yet to sit down and watch Gilmore Girls. It's in my queue. I pushed play on the episode. It started to play, and then 2 seconds, I was like, I can't do it yet. Like, I had to. I had to shut down the fun machine on that one. Just had to crank her down a bit. But I am gonna watch it the next couple of days. I mentally have to build up to it. I don't
prepare yourself.
I'm not really. It's so out of my wheelhouse. I need to just to baby step my way into it. I can't just jump in with both feet because then I'm gonna jump right out. Just like nope, done.
Well, they are very witty. There's lots of dialogue. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, when I say lots, it's constant dialogue.
Are there any aliens or explosions, anything fun?
Not yet. I've only gotten 2 episodes in, so.
Oh, you're still going?
No. Well, I was waiting for what you were
going to
do.
Oh, so if I keep going, you're going to keep going,
isn't
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's a tall order, man.
But, yeah, 2 episodes in, so. Yeah,
and what's your consent? Like, what do you think so far?
Well, I could watch it.
Really?
Yeah, it's.
How many seasons did it go?
Like 7.
Wow, and so the new one's coming out on Netflix soon, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, but, I mean, some of the dialogue's actually, you know, it's pretty witty, and like, there's lots of pop culture references.
Right.
And seriously, it is like fast. There's just nonstop. Like you have to like pick stuff out.
It's just a barrage of conversations.
Yeah,
like Party of Five kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. But the thing they do the best is they kind of like move things around quickly. They move things fast. It seems like
there's no dawdling as far as story goes.
No, yeah, it kind of goes. You know, like at least the first couple episodes, you know, kind of trying to establish everything.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean. It seems standard fare, but I would say the dialogue probably sets it apart from other normal, you know, sitcom-y dramas. Yeah, like CW dramas. I guess it was on the WB, I think. Yeah. And then CW. But. Mm.
Interesting.
I know you're not excited about that.
But. Well, not after hearing that, but I'm still going to give it a shot. Okay, so. I got sucked in. I paid the money on Amazon Prime, or Amazon Instant Video, rather, to get the Batman vs. Superman Ultimate.
Oh, my God.
I know. It was long.
Right, yeah.
And I got to say, for me, as someone who's played the video games, I mean, who's read the comics, who reads fan theories online, I mean, anything I can ingest about these sort of worlds, I mean, you know, we tend to do, you know, as do you, as do a lot of us. Because that's just, you know, that's our shit. As someone who is aware of the source material they were pulling the different plot points for and all that, I liked it. I really.
Oh my God!
I did because you know I know the video games. Like I know that the Flash was using a boom tube. You know what I mean? It came from Cyborg. Like I know all that stuff. So it worked for me because I'm already aware of the origin stories of all that shit. But for the average fan, dude, lost. They're so lost.
Yeah.
So lost.
I started watching like the fight scenes on YouTube because some guy posted them all on YouTube.
The Batman fight scene where he rescues Superman's mom. Holy Christ!
Now, see, I didn't see that one, but I saw the fight between him and Superman, and I'm like, mm-hmm. This is way too mechanical. Like it's just kind of, you know, it wasn't very good. And
right.
My biggest problem with what I saw is everything is in the dark.
Well, yeah.
But
he's the Dark Knight.
No, but you know what I mean. Like every single thing is at night that happens, and it's like that's the easiest way to like hide cheap, CGI and all that other stuff. And it's like it's really lazy, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe that's kind of where they felt the Nolanverse made a mistake, where like the entire last fucking movie was in the daylight. Like, how
where
lame,
you can see stuff.
Yeah, how lame did it look? Batman fighting Mini Bane. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to Tom Hardy, I'm sure he could beat the shit out of me. But dude, he's a little Bane.
Oh, and I watched the opening sequence with Batman, the whole his whole
oh the voiceover you know, shit yeah yeah
well you know Batman v Superman beginning
oh yeah
and one thing that, like, I didn't want to watch anymore, like, if I was in the theater and I saw this, I would have been so mad, is the fucking pearls that get caught on the hammer of the gun.
Oh, that pops up again during the film. If you're
I know, he shows it twice, because he's got such a hard-on for it. He's like, yeah, that is an amazing shot. No, motherfucker! And it's not.
But it's
not a good shot.
Because the barrel of the gun is what breaks the necklace.
Right, it breaks the necklace, and her face apparently explodes, because the gun is a 5-inch or 2 inches away from her face. You know,
like, she shouldn't have a head anymore.
Right, like, come on, man. Like, so gratuitous. It's like, do we really need to see this again? And then, like you said, they show it again after he says, Martha! You know, like, oh, God. Yeah. Like, really?
Yes, in my head, I couldn't hammer help it home. During the last fight scene where Batman was rescuing Superman's mom, every time he punched someone, I was just like, Martha, Martha.
Oh,
Martha.
My God. All right, yeah.
Like, I couldn't help it. Like, I'm dying laughing, but, like, it was such, it was like watching Arkham. It was like watching, a stunt team just took 5 minutes of gameplay from Arkham Asylum and just, you know, here, guys, go do this. That's exactly what they did. Like, dude, Batman Affleck was not fucking around. And, like, they did a training montage for him where he's old school. Like, he's lifting, like, cement blocks like some kind of a fucking rugged lumberjack. And he's pulling ropes because the Batcave is like a CrossFit gym, too. Like, it was ridiculous. But because of Prime Day, like, I think that movie might be, like, you could rent it for, it might be, like, $2 or $3 right now. If you don't want to buy it, I recommend just renting it, because
I'm definitely gonna see it. And
I definitely fucking
like it. Listen, I've seen Man of Steel like probably 15 times. I hate that movie. Yeah, I hate that movie.
But I watch it a lot.
But I watch it. You know why? Because it's freaking Superman. And there's a lot of really cool spots
in
it.
We're such assholes. It's like, I know it's a shitty movie, but
yeah,
it's fucking
shitty,
Superman.
But I'm watching it. You know, and it's like, I know Batman v Superman is shitty, but I'll probably like some of it.
It's like,
you know
how I feel about Iron Man 2.
Oh, it was
just
exactly.
One long commercial for the
right
for the Avengers.
Iron Man 2. Seriously,
which is
like,
fine because it's still Iron Man and War Machine. But
every time it's on the TV or whatever, it pops up. I watch it. I'm like, man, what the hell's wrong with me? Like,
right? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing? Why am I wasting an hour and a half of my life?
Asshole. Yeah. But then you realize Batman vs Superman is 2.5 hours, the ultimate extended edition.
I thought it was even longer than that. It was like close to 3 hours, right?
Oh God, you're right. It was 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours of your life, man.
Yeah, I had to watch it in pieces because when Doomsday popped up, my kid was sitting next to me, like coloring pictures. She's like, "What's that?" I was like, "You don't need to see that giant monster." But all the Wonder Woman stuff she was on board for. She's like, "Who's that? Is that a superhero?" I was like, "Yeah, it's superhero. It's Wonder Woman."
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the news today that's just been released? So Wonder Woman's just about done shooting.
Awesome.
Guess who has writer credits?
Who?
Zack Snyder.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no is right. Now, of course, that could just mean he wrote a couple scenes or helped with stuff.
Even still, a couple scenes is too much.
Right, exactly. Are we going to get the, you know, Murderverse Wonder Woman instead of, you know, like, trying to make peace and stuff?
I don't mind Wonder Woman killing people because, I mean, you
know.
Oh,
no, I don't mind either.
That's
but
her
like,
shit. You know, I'm okay with that. But
I don't want it to be gratuitous, you know, like. Plus, he just doesn't know characters and.
Here's hoping we get Geoff Johns, who did season 1 of Arrow and not season 4 of Arrow. Writing this book.
Yeah, I forgot there was 3 other people with writer credits.
Gail Ann Hurd, did she write any of that at all?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, no.
That is fucking bonkers. Zack Snyder wrote some scenes for it. Alan Heinberg was the other writer, okay.
Yeah, sad.
But Zack Snyder, wow. I think he's perfect for, like, shorter movies. I think once he starts approaching these cinematic, you know, masterpieces he's trying to make, where he starts making them 2-hour movies, he starts losing focus.
Yeah, he definitely needs handlers, I think. Because
most of Watchmen was great.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think other than, like, the fight scenes being, like, too gratuitous. And when I say that, I mean, like, he just made them seem like they're superpowered, which they're not.
Yeah. No.
They're not, you know. But he made them, like, they're snapping bones like it's nothing. It's like, come on, dude. Right. That's not the point. And then, like, the ending really bugs me, what he did with the ending. But that's,
it would have been hard to portray the way, you know what I mean?
Oh, the big giant monster thing?
Yeah, the big octopus over the fuck away.
Right, but, like, that, for me, that's, like, that makes the story perfect, you know?
Right.
Because the Dr. Manhattan makes those things for him, whereas in the story, Ozymandias actually kills, like, 6,000 people who are in making that monster.
Right.
You know? Like, he kills all those people. Like, that's how far he went, you know? He killed the millions of people in New York, and then he killed those people to cover it up. Like, he's covered all his tracks, and it makes him even more devious.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one can beat Dr. Manhattan, so why would the world rally around each other and be like, oh, yeah, we can defeat Dr. Manhattan? No, you can't.
Right.
If he wanted to really vaporize the world, he could do it. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's one of my points about that. At least with the alien, you're like, oh, there's an actual aliens, and let's round, you know, it's kind of like Independence Day, you know?
Right.
I think I can't stop considering, like, singer actors or actor singers, however we should classify them. I think we should put some thought into this and try to, we should present two or three of who we think are the best singer actors.
The best? Oh. Yeah.
Because I think it'd be too easy to pick out the worst.
Okay. I mean, no, it's...
Let's clarify this. They have to be actors who later discovered a musical career.
Oh, okay. So you kept... Yeah, because you'd be like... You could do Hugh Jackman and... All right. He's a good actor who sings really well and
I think he has an album, though. I don't think he counts. Like,
but right, so
Joe
like,
Pesci would count because he's got
so
a
So you mean like
there.
More
or
like...
Downey Jr.
More like rock, you know, like releases their own albums, you
yes.
know, goes on tours, that kind of
like,
thing.
Cuba Gooding Jr. put out a couple albums, like something along those lines.
No shit. Did he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He's got a good voice, though. Have you ever heard any of Joe Pesci's music?
He has music, too?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I have not. I have not heard his music.
I wish you could hear how big the smile was I'm wearing right now just thinking about Joe Pesci's music. It's so good. So we should sit. Yeah, I think I'm gonna put some serious thought into this. I want to see if we could determine who's the best one. I mean, obviously,
best or most successful.
Oh, best, like
okay,
the best singer.
Best. All right,
because you know the most successful. Jesus, it had to be Downey. Just because of what a monster act, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well, yeah. Tons of money, accolades, you know, he's a good singer too, so it's like...
And when he sings, he tries to put out a British accent. It's really funny. He does. And he's singing these really bluesy songs.
Yeah, bluesy stuff,
soul, that guy.
Yeah.
He's got heart. You can't emote through those big baby Browns like that without feeling some shit, so why wouldn't you sing jazz or blues?
Right.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr., I know, has a couple albums. Pesci, for sure. Cuba Gooding Jr. I don't know if Johnny Depp has done any singing. I'm fairly certain Keanu Reeves never has. But I feel like we're going to Google it, and we're going to just find a list of just like these people. It's like, wait, what?
Christopher Lee.
What?
So, huh?
Singer?
Yeah, he sang on that metal album. Have you ever heard his... Are you, you know, you haven't heard it? Christopher Lee?
No, I am not.
Yeah, so he's got a death metal album.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you. And it was just like only a couple years ago. Like,
what?
When he's wicked old. That's where he's one of the most badass people ever.
Death metal. Dude, that is death metal Christmas? A heavy metal Christmas? Dude, what?
Yeah. He contributed to like a lot of those albums and stuff.
I know what I'm listening to tonight. He's got a big gnarly beard on the cover. He's holding like a proper guitar. Look at this guy. Christopher Lee. Yeah, I'm on board. I know what I'm listening to tonight.
And he's legit killed people.
What? Has he really?
Yeah, he was a like a former SAS. He's like an ex-James Bond guy.
What?
I'm not kidding you, man.
Jesus. He's
yeah.
like Audie, he's like the British Audie Murphy. He's this old badass.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, like World War II, I think.
The fuck out of that. Dude, that's awesome. That is super rad. Yeah. Yeah, okay, yep, that's it. I'm listening to this tonight. Wow. Like, I'm wondering who the most shocking is going to be. Like, there's just going to be one that hits us out of nowhere. It's like, wow, I never considered that. Like, the Joe Pesci, like, I think...
That one's pretty seriously.
It's very shocking. I think Corey Feldman, to me, when I first discovered his music, It was very surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, zero talent for
singing.
What
are the odds that, since we have green screens now, we could put ourselves into the Ascension Millennium video just as random background party goers?
Yeah, we should totally do that.
I really feel that we should. Maybe we could be, like, we could, like, guys scrambling for, like, some of, like, Barry Bonds, like, last home run balls. We could be scrambling to, like, fight for the inhaler that he and Sean Astin throw over the stairs.
Right, that he tosses.
Or we could have hats strapped down from the ceiling on shitty strings and try to dance along with him.
Oh, Lord.
I think that's what we should try. We should try to put ourselves into the dancing.
I can dad dance. I can do it.
I realized after I became a father that I've always dad danced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got the rhythm of a weeble wobble. Like, there's no...
Right, there's no hip movement. It's
There's no hip movement.
Right, the sway. You do the sway.
Yeah. I teeter. And, you know. And yep. I totter. Yeah. Like, I imagine how Steven Tyler moves these days on stage. He just kind of, he Axl Rose, he just grabs a mic stand and just moves like 3 to 6 inches. And, you know.
That's hides, it. Hides behind the scarves.
The scarves, the goatee, the long flowing hair. He's looking more like a Sharpay the older he gets.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I want to hang out with him. Like, next time, you I want to know what he smells like. So you have to smell Steven Tyler.
All right, so the next time, if I do see him, I'll try to get a picture with him.
Yeah.
And try to annoy him.
It's like, where'd you get your belt? You know what I mean?
Just oh, my God, no, see, that would probably be good.
Who's your scarf guy?
Oh, my God, yes. Who's your scarf guy?
Who's your scarf guy? I got to know.
It would be great, like, if it's in the wintertime, because then, like...
Perfect.
Because he'll have tons of scarves on. And
you know what you got to do is you need to always carry a scarf in a pocket, and when you see him, just throw that shit on.
Like, yeah, dude, who's scarf your scarf
brothers.
Guy?
Scarf
yeah.
brothers. High five him.
Yeah.
Just throw your wife your phone, just, like, film this, and just go running up to him.
Oh, my God, that'd be awesome.
All right, well, you have homework. You got to find Steven Tyler and get a scarf picture. I have homework. I'm going to sit down and actually watch the Gilmore Girls. You listening or watching this also have homework. Please check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/AdamsNerd, or sorry, Children of the Adams. We are at Adams Nerds on Instagram and Twitter. You can find Matt and all his amazing art at Spatty Siemens. I'm at Bearded Swayze. We can be found on YouTube. That's some random link, you know, because we can't get our URL yet. But the link's posted everywhere. If you're listening to this, Google Play Music, Podbean, you know, iTunes, we're everywhere. On behalf of Matt, I'm Aaron.
Peace!